My name is Mercy. I am 23 years old. Today is November 25th, 2018, and I'm speaking with Vanessa, who's my sister, and we're currently recording in the city of Albuquerque, New Mexico. This is for a project in my American Studies Perspectives class on inequality, and I am interviewing to focus on motherhood and welfare. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, hi, I am Vanessa Palmer, and I am Mercy's older sister. I'm 40 years old, and I have four children, two biological children and two adopted.
Okay. What would you say is your proudest moment with your experience as a mother?
Probably graduating from New Mexico Highlands University with my social work degree. I think that is a proud moment for me as a mother because it shows specifically my daughters that you can basically do anything that you want. If you put your mind to it, you devote your hard work, you can graduate with a bachelor's or whatever they desire to accomplish in their lives.
And so with that in mind, during the process of going to school, being on something like welfare definitely affected you. And so what was the process of applying for welfare like?
Actually, it was tedious. It was a lot of work. I really did not experience that before because previously I was somewhat privileged because I came from, you know, upper middle class, and then I got divorced. So I went from upper middle class to poverty level because I was not working. I was a full-time student, and so therefore I had to get on welfare to provide for myself and for my children, and it requires a lot of work. You have to provide a lot of documentation like birth certificates, social security cards, proof of income, my financial aid. You have to write letters. You have to do an hour minimum interview with the case manager at the welfare department. And then it goes to review, and if during the review process, if you know something does, if they need more additional information, then you have to send that information. I had to send over my entire divorce decree to them, proving that I was divorced, and that I had to also show income as far as like child support. Even though child support was not being paid, I still had to show proof of that. Even though I explained to them that I was not receiving child support. They still required me to administer documentation to them about the child support. So that actually caused a lot of issues with me because even though I was not receiving the child support, I had to show that. And so it interfered with me receiving SNAP and TANF.
So in what way, I mean, being during this application process, what would you say, like in what specific ways, how did it interfere with work, school, and motherhood, and how did it keep you from focusing on things that you needed to do in order to be a successful student, in order to be a successful employee, and a successful mother?
So it interfered with my school in the aspects that, you know, I was taking a full load, 12 plus credit hours per semester, and so when trying to focus on my assignments and trying to be, you know, the best student that I could be, I had to worry about putting food on the table for my kids and feeding my children. And a lot of the times, like, I did not have food for my kids, and we had to go to food pantries, and we had to go get food and to provide for my family. And so, you know, it was extreme stress, not to mention that I couldn't pay for my mortgage, so my house went into foreclosure. I had pets. I had to worry about how to feed my pets. You know, so all those like basic needs that a mother needs to provide for your child, it was difficult. You know, how to pay my utilities, like to pay heat, water, gas, you know, in the winter time, all those things were like a huge struggle. And, you know, again, going back to the child support, when you have to apply for financial aid, you also have to put that down as income. And I wasn't receiving child support, even though there was documentation saying that I should have been receiving it, I wasn't receiving it. And so they don't care about that. If you're not receiving it and the law's not being abided by, that doesn't matter to them. There's a documentation stating that you are supposed to be getting this amount, and that's, and it, you know, once you submit that documentation to them, that's what they go by. They don't go by your word saying that you're not getting it, even though you have to provide bank statements as well.
Right. And so with all of that happening, on top of that, there's stereotypes about welfare motherhood. And one of the main things that we focus on in American studies, in early social science reports, we talk about things like the Moynihan Report, which really honed in on creating those stereotypes of welfare mothers and how they're to blame for notions such as the culture of poverty. And in what ways do you think those ideas disregard the inequalities of mothers on welfare, what they experience?
I just think it's a very ignorant viewpoint. I said, you know, I believe that people that are arguing this side are ignorant. These are the people that have privilege. These are the people that have not gone through what single mothers go through. You know, struggling with having to maintain a job, struggling with trying to better themselves too, because they have, a lot of the times they have jobs that are not being paid, that are not, you know, paid well. And so they're struggling to work, do overtime, plus, like I said, better themselves. A lot of single parents are, single mothers are students as well. And so, you know, these people that are putting these reports out, they are the privileged. They don't experience that struggle. You know, they come from privilege. They're born into privilege. And so they just don't understand what it's like to be a minority and to be a single mother that is struggling, trying to fight oppression and system oppression, because it's not just oppression, like, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not oppression that's just on the meso level. It's macro oppression. And so I think that it's kind of hard to argue because you're arguing with someone that just doesn't understand. They don't have that viewpoint because they were just born into privilege, and people that are born into privilege just don't get it.
Right. And so that being taken into consideration, are there ways that you felt that those stereotypes were projected on you during this experience?
You know what? Honestly, I'm going to have to say no. And I think that's a part of my privilege because I am a social work student. So being that, during that time I was a social work student, I was getting my bachelor's. And so I associated myself with people that were very understanding and empathetic of my situation. And I didn't really struggle with that. I was educated too. So I went to income support and reported, you know, the non-child support payments. And so I know the laws and I know my rights as a parent and my rights as a woman receiving child support. And so I feel like I advocate for myself, and honestly, my education in a way has helped me with that a lot.
That's a great way to handle it. And going along with that, there's ideas about traditional forms of motherhood. So in what ways do you feel like this influenced your parenting style? For example, did you notice yourself placing an emphasis on your children's education, or, you know, different aspects?
Yes. So before me being a social work student, just to give you a little bit of background, I was an educator for APS for 10 years. So education is very, very important to me. And I've always instilled that in my children. And so they know that, you know, I am huge on education and advocating for yourself and bettering yourself. And I feel like for one to better themselves, you have to educate yourself. And so going through school, I think it shows the sacrifices that I've made for, you know, for my children and for myself. And my children they saw it every day. They saw the sacrifices that I made for them every day. And I always told them that this was a family sacrifice. It's not just me, it's us sacrificing this so we can better our family unit. And I think they see that because my boys have since then graduated from high school and they are both attending college. And so I know that my sacrifices that I've made as a mother and my sacrifices that I've, you know, made for the family unit as a whole has definitely left an impression on my kids. And, you know, my daughters, you know, they're both in high school and they talk about what they want to do in the future. And in fact, my little one, she has admirations of wanting to be a social worker herself. So I'm like super proud of that because, you know, that shows that I have been somewhat of an inspiration to my kids, I think.
Definitely, I'd say being an aunt, even though I'm a little biased, I'd have to agree. Do you feel like, so of course, your community has definitely contributed specifically to your success. So in what ways would you say that they've done that? Because this isn't a matter of, you know, having a bootstrap being pulled. It's really a matter of everyone coming together to be able to support you.
So, like, you supported me. You were a huge support to me. You were the one that would get up and put your hair in a bun, put your yoga pants on and your tennis shoes, and you would be going to the food pantries and getting us food when we didn't have food. My best friends, I surround myself with some wonderful girlfriends that they are my community. When a lot of my family members were not there for me, my friends were my community. And when I was down and when I needed anything, I knew that they were there. My social work community, I mean, they were amazing. They were constantly supporting me, empathetic, giving me the uplifting spirit that I needed during the times that was really, really difficult.
Right.
I think it's more of just not necessarily helping with monetary items. I think when people are struggling financially and struggling with poverty and struggling with putting food on the table, I think having that emotional support is more important than anything.
Of course.
Than monetary items.
We definitely saw that.
Mm-hmm.
How would your future have been impacted if you didn't have that support?
Well, I know for a fact that I probably would not have graduated. I would have dropped out. Because if I didn't have the support that I had during that time, I just don't think I would have made it to complete my bachelor's. So that would have been devastating because I am where I am because of you and my girlfriends and my children, because I'm getting my master's now and I graduate in, 5 months? So that's a huge accomplishment. So I'm continuing to succeed because of not only my resilience and strengths, but because of your resilience and your strength, because of my friends' resilience and strength.
It's something that we've looked forward to for a long, long time, and
yes.
It is something that we look forward to celebrating.
Yes.
Yeah. So, considering those previous answers, what are your thoughts on bootstrap mentality?
I don't know. That's a tricky one for me.
It's a complex question, right? Because it's something that you can almost feel somewhat ambivalent about because you worked so hard for it, but at the same time, you have all this wonderful support. So, you know, it's really, really kind of about the community that bought the boots for you, kind of,
mm-hmm.
not just because